You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the meeting grounds for spirituality and society, religion and culture.
Good morning and welcome to our service of worship, which today is led by the Unitarian Church Women's Group. We would like to acknowledge this land that we meet on today is the traditional land of the Kaama people and that we respect their spiritual relationship with their country. For this church is also a spiritual community, a church that supports you in seeking and following your own spiritual path.
The aim of our group is to provide a safe space in which to join together and share experiences, trusting that what is said is solely heard and listened to within at this special time each month, a time of enjoyment in each other's company, and definitely a place in which to relax, renew, and refresh our spirits.
Next, we've got the story for all ages, told by Moira Thomas.
Now this story is called Knit Together. Now, this is me, and this is the little girl. I tried to find a story about girls, but I couldn't. This is about one girl and her mum. This is me. I love to draw. Mum doesn't draw. Mum knits.
Anyone in the audience knit?
Mum doesn't draw, Mum knits. I think knitting is much better than drawing. And then Mum says, why? And there she is, because why is knitting better than drawing? Because you can wear it. If I could knit, I would make the most amazing things. And finger puppets, gloves. And she's dreaming about what she would do if she could knit. I ask Mum to show me. But it's not as easy as it looks. And there she is. She's a bit fed up because she's finding it a bit hard. And there's the dog beside her. She's got the wool all wound around her. We all remember, the women will all remember the first time we tried knitting. Mum says it's okay. She doesn't mind that her little girl can't knit. She says, I help her. So there we are. I wonder how she helps her. By inspiring her in my own special way. And then we come up with the best idea, because her daughter is good at thinking of designs. So here they are. And so they're looking at all the different designs they can make on the article, whatever it's going to be. A collaboration. That's a big word. Do you know, James, do you know what collaboration means? No? You do, though. You tell them what collaboration means. So that mum and daughter work together. They collaborate. We'll make something together. But first it's inspiration time. I try not to think too hard about what I will draw. Mum says sometimes the best ideas come when your brain is resting. So there she is, she has a big rest and she's going to come up with the idea. And then I get to work. There are slow starts, so she's doing lots of practice and knots. But then I have it. So what's she going to draw? A boat, yes. So the boat is going to go onto something. We're ready. Together we gather our supplies. So there's Mum getting all the wool. We talk about our project and then we work to make something we could never have made alone. So the little girl isn't a good enough knitter and Mum can't come up with ideas, but her daughter can. It's a drawing we can wear. So there's her boat and she's got it on this big sort of... it's like a little rug. Yep, that's it. It's a drawing we can work. So that's about people working together to make something good. Do you do that sometimes at school? You work together with other children?
Thanks, Maura.
Sharing is a basic component of human interaction and is responsible for strengthening social ties and ensuring a person's well-being. Happiness is never decreased by being shared. That's Gautama Buddha. Shared pain is lessened. Spider Robinson, Callahan's Law.
This is my part, which is about sharing. Our truism is part of life. Sharing our energy with other people and showing compassion towards humans and even animals can lead to happiness. It's like a straightforward bridge from altruism to happiness. Being happy and using ways to increase happiness is quite difficult if we don't share what we have. Far from money, we have bigger and brighter things to share, such as a helping hand. Words by Nicola Gavinsky. Similar to the regular candles of joy and concern, part of the weekly church service, we give and encourage our members the opportunity to comment in as much detail as they wish to share any ongoing or current concerns or joys which they are experiencing. Confidentiality is paramount. What is shared within the group stays within the group. While a woman has the floor and is holding an object which we pass around, she may not be interrupted. However, a time limit must be considered so that each person has an opportunity to speak. Following from this, a subject matter which has been decided in advance is introduced, and as before, everyone is given the opportunity to state their opinion in relation to this. There is no pressure for anyone to take part if they feel uncomfortable with any aspect of our shared time together. Now, we're going to have a musical item from Brenda Coulter.
You will recognise the melody, which is the hymn Amazing Grace, but I feel very deeply about the two enormous problems facing this planet. The first is the social problem, the social disaster of the refugee problem. And I must congratulate David for all he's doing in that area. And also the planet. We are warming, we are changing. People are being deprived of their lands with sea rise and sea level, and we have these two conflicting problems that are causing us enormous pain and suffering to so many people.
Our next segment is on listening, and our reader is Jane Brooks.
Have you ever listened to a group of women all trying to have a conversation? It can be quite bedlam unless someone takes control. Or maybe they do stop to listen, but then they all want to have their say at once. It can be quite a wearing experience. Good listening is an art. To know that your story is being heard and taken seriously can be like magic to a troubled soul.
Our next speaker is Daphne Treloar.
When our little group was formed, one of the rules was that only one person spoke at a time and was not interrupted while they were speaking. This is very carefully preserved by those attending. One of the purposes of the group is, after all, to provide the opportunity for the women who wish to be able to discuss issues which will vary in their importance to all, but are important to each individual expressing them. To make this work, individuals have a set time to speak. Discussion or questioning is taken up at the end of the contribution. Often important issues are raised, and for the period to be useful, it is very important for everyone to have gained a good impression of the issues that are revealed. For some, it may be the first time they have discussed a concern or problem with anyone, and it may have taken a great deal of courage to reveal. How important it is then to give the right or most useful response. I worked for 16 years as a counsellor with Lifeline and the Salvation Army, and I've seen what a change can occur when someone has been able to bear their soul and be listened to in a non-judgmental way. There may not be an easy solution, but talking it out and being listened to in a respectful way makes it much easier for the problem to be further explored. It's also important that the listener doesn't feel that they have to provide a solution. Many times there may not be a solution at the moment, but we all know how relieved we have felt when discussing our own problems just to get it off our chest. Just to let a person talk is often enough for now. It's also important to not only look as if you're listening, but to get the details right when there's a discussion. One can't perceive the whole without concentration. Sometimes discussing a person's problem may be a little tedious. We've heard it all before and we've raised some possible directions, but they haven't been taken up. Well, sadly, they're not ready. Perhaps they will be in a while, so perhaps a little encouragement might help. We have to realise we can't solve anyone else's problems, but perhaps we can show we care. True listening is one of the kindest responses we can make to someone who is stressed or worried or unhappy. To know he or she has been listened to, understood and supported can be a great encouragement and stimulant to take positive steps themselves.
Our next speaker is Val Webb and her subject is reflection.
Good morning. For inspiration and to guide my thoughts for the topic of reflection, I reread and reflected upon the document given to me by Rob some couple of years ago entitled Chalice Circle Small Group Ministry Program, unquote, compiled by the UU Church of Berkeley in 2008-2009. It's a participant's handbook, useful to my mind, for anyone involved in setting up a group with specific intentions. Many of its recommendations have been absorbed into our present women's group. For example, what is a chalice circle intended to be? And some of their ideas were, and the ones that we've incorporated into our group, are a way to deepen our spirituality through shared experience, a way to share our thoughts on life's big questions, a way to be engaged, included and heard in a safe, nurturing environment, a way to bring together the newer and the long-term members in our community, and a way to deepen our practice of shared UU principles. As in the chalice circles, we too have created a sacred space where we can tell our stories, the stories of our lives, be heard and listen deeply to those of our companions. For me personally, women's group is a particularly nurturing place to gather. I love my women friends in this church. They've supported me over the years through a broken marriage and God knows what else. I love the stimulation of sharing of ideas, of hearing significant events in each individual's life's daily journeys, and the personal insights and the added bonus of discussing the particular topic at hand. But I think the most valuable life-enhancing part is the time spent in reflection of others' words and actions, often many days after the event, and very often when I'm in the garden or doing something completely unrelated to Sunday's events. Why then is reflection important? Let's have a look at some thoughtful visual examples. The unexamined life is not worth living. The beauty you see in me is a reflection of you. Love is a mirror. In it you see nothing except your reflection. You see nothing except your real face. I love this one. Your life is a reflection of your thoughts. If you change your thinking, you change your life. Forgiveness is a reflection of loving yourself enough to move on. And I think that's a very good quote when recovering from pain or suffering. Life is only a reflection of what we allow ourselves to see. Be a reflection of what you'd like to receive. If you want love, give love. If you want truth, be truthful. If you want respect, give respect. What you give out will return to you. I'm hoping that by spending time in mindful reflection, I will enhance the prospect of living a more enlightened life. Thank you.
To conclude this section, we have a reading by Jenny Opie.
Eileen Caddy was a co-founder of the Findhorn community, and the inspirational words in Footsteps on the Path were written as she believed she listened to the voice of God within. And I've chosen these words as reflection. Far too many souls are satisfied to sit down and accept what others have to say instead of seeking for the truth within. They prefer to read and study other teachings instead of finding those deep spiritual truths and teachings within themselves. Every soul is the microcosm of the macrocosm. Every soul has all it needs deep within. Start right now drawing from that eternal source which knows no beginning and no end. Fill your heart, mind and soul and being with the beauty and harmony of all life. It is there all around you and within you. Wake up to it. Wake up and enjoy it to the full and give eternal thanks for it. A life filled with beauty and harmony is a joy to behold. It radiates and projects law and order and perfect rhythm and harmony. A true work of art, whatever it may be, must have balance, grace, harmony and order. A beautiful soul reflects these qualities for all to see. When there is chaos and confusion within, it is reflected without by a life of confusion and chaos, and it cannot be hidden. So with peace, harmony, beauty, love, they are reflected in your outer living and appearance. To get into the rhythm of life, you have to learn the art of being still. The stiller you can become, the clearer you can reflect the qualities of your soul. How easy it is to blame your environment, your situation, your conditions for the state that you're in. How nice it is to have something or someone else to blame, to have a scapegoat. It is high time you stop doing this and realize you only have yourselves to blame for the state that you're in. That when you can seek and find that inner peace and stillness, nothing and no one without will be able to disturb it and throw you off balance. Look around you. Look at the beauty and perfection of nature. Everything in nature is in rhythm. There is perfect law and order in the universe. Nothing is out of tune. There is a time and reason for everything. It is there for all to see and for all to partake of. So get in tune with it, flow with it, and be part of that law and order. Are you not part of the whole? Then why separate yourselves by living a disordered and chaotic life? As you fill your minds with beautiful thoughts, say beautiful words, and accomplish beautiful things, and so you become one with the beautiful wholeness of the universe. Take time to reflect on this and get into tune and into harmony, and do it now. As each individual seeks and finds inner peace and harmony, so will peace and harmony rule the world. It has to start somewhere. So why not let it start in you, and in you? And realize that you, by doing your part, can help to bring peace and harmony into the world. It is every tiny drop that makes up the mighty ocean, and every tiny grain of sand that makes up the beach. So every individual at peace within can bring peace without into the world. So why not do your part?
May we be reminded here of our highest aspirations and inspired to bring our gifts of love and service to the altar of humanity. May we know once again that we are not isolated beings, but connected in mystery and miracle to the universe, to this community, and to each other. And thank you for everyone who has helped in any way today, to Anne and to Moira and the person who's done the flowers. And, please join us all for tea and coffee and a friendly chat afterwards.
And that's our episode of Expanding Horizons for the week. The introduction is a piece named Elements by the artist CDK. The piece is licensed under Creative Commons. This is White Rabbit, out.